George Jackson, San Quentin Prison, May 16th.
Double max, San Quentin. The principal contradiction between oppressor and oppressed can be reduced to the fact that the only way the oppressor can maintain his position is by fostering, nurturing, building contempt for the oppressed. That thing gets out of hand after a while. It leads to the excesses that we see, and the excesses that are growing within the totalitarian state here. The excesses breed resistance, of course. The thing grows in a spiral. It can end in only one way. The excesses lead to resistance. The resistance lead to brutality. The brutality really leads to more resistance, and finally, the whole question will be resolved with either the uneconomic destruction of the oppressed, or the end of oppression, the end of economic man. And this is what we're working for. Revolution must be fed. It grows in spirals. Confrontations, and I mean on all levels. The institutions that buttress the establishment, I mean on all levels, have to be assaulted. We don't have to contrive any. The particular thing that I'm involved in right now, the prison movement started by Huey Newton and the party. Huey and David and June, Pat Goliot, and the rest of the comrades around the country. We're working with Erica and Bobby. The prison movement in general, the movement to prove to the establishment that the concentration camp technique won't work on us. Not in the 1970s. We don't have to contrive any importance to our particular movement. It's a very real, very, very real issue. And I'm of the opinion that right along with the student movement, right along with the old familiar workers' movement, that the prison movement, you know, substructural to the thing, you know, on the whole, does have strong relevance to the whole question, the movement in general.
Many of the cadres of the revolutionary forces on the outside have been captured and have been imprisoned. Are you saying that even though imprisoned, that these cadres can still function in a meaningful way for the revolution?
Well, we're all familiar with the function of the prison as an institution within the totalitarian state. We have to destroy that function. That function has to no longer be viable. It's one of the strongest institutions that supports the totalitarian state. We have to destroy. We have to destroy its effectiveness, and that's what the prison movement is all about. What I'm saying is that they put us in concentration camps. All right. But there'll be no peace in a concentration camp. None whatsoever. I'm saying that it's impossible to concentration camp resistors. For example, we can go back a little distance, the internments during World War II. Let's go forward to the strategic hamlet and all the various means of concentrating populations to better control or to eliminate, liquidate, isolate the dynamic sections of the movement, the protagonists in the movement. We have to prove that that thing won't work here, and the only way to prove it is resistance once inside, and then that resistance has to be supported, of course, from the street. As we understood that the function of the prison within the prison state, within the police state, has to be explained, has to be elucidated, has to be gotten across to the people on the street, because we can't fight them alone, and you know, we can fight, but the results are usually not they're not conducive to proving our point. You know that that this thing won't work on us. From inside, we fight and we die, but that's not the point. The point is in the new face of war is to fight and win. The guerrilla, the new type of warrior that's developed out of the conflicts of the third world countries, doesn't fight to necessarily show valor. He fights to win. And he's fighting what we call the poor man's war. You know, it's not a simple question of hit and run or of terrorism, or let me say counter-terrorism. It's an overall question of proving to the establishment that there's no possible way for them to win with their techniques. We have to prove to them that wars are won, are fought and won by men and not by mechanical devices. We can't resist in here, and we're going to. There's not going to ever be any more peace in any place where I'm at or any place where any one of my comrades are at. But we're going to need coordination. We're going to need help. And right now, that help should be in the form of education. I think it's important to elucidate to the people out there in minimum just how important it is to destroy the function of the prison within the totalitarian state. It does serve a definitely important a function.
In an interview with some imprisoned Tupamaros, the a question was raised about the decimation of the ranks of the Tupamaros by the comrades who were killed or the comrades who were imprisoned. Those interviewed assured the reporter that there were far more people joining the ranks than were being lost in these skirmishes, and that the movement was continuing to grow. Do you feel that same confidence about the party, about the revolutionary movement on the outside of the prisons now?
We are structured here inside of this system here in California. The thing that I'm familiar with here in California, we are structured, and our structure allows us to exist and to continue to resist in spite of the losses we absorb. It was set up that way. And like I said, no, they can't win. When we can, it's hard in an army or in a military type situation to practice or develop central democratic principles. Sometimes we have to be a little tyrannical with ourselves and with others, you know. But we're just beginning to learn, beginning to relate to each other, learn how to function together. And we're getting over the humps, but we are aware of the fact that, you know, the opposition uses the kill off the head principle, kill the body. And we've set up safeguards against that sort of thing. Well, I could die tomorrow, but there'll be 200 or 300 people to take my place, right? And it's an educational thing, educational and military. What we need, since the policy has changed inside the joints, well, we've pressured the changes, really. They're not, they didn't give them to them because they wanted to. We forced the changes on them. And really, it's tokenism, but we're going to take advantage of it. Any person on the street now can communicate and correspond through the mail with any individual inside prison. My suggestion is to bombard these prisons with clippings from papers, educational things to help politicize the comrades who aren't yet relating. Any letter that comes in the joint here, addressed to any individual, will reach him. And political material, clippings, printed matter comes through, gets through now. I think it's important to bombard these places now with that sort of stuff.
You disclosed, I think, a few months ago that you have been for some time a member of the Black Panther Party. Certainly the work of the Black Panther Party in the prisons of this state and other states, the work to free political prisoners, and of course the work in the black community have been factors that would have influenced your decision. Has the internationalism of the Black Panther Party been one of the key aspects of the party that attracted you to it? And if this is true, is internationalism meaningful for people in prison as one reason why they would relate to that party?
Well, to take it a step at a time. Huey came to the joint, and upon his arrival, he'd heard stories about the little thing that we had going already. And he decided to absorb us. And he sent me a message and told me that, just told me that I was part of the party now. And that our little group was part of the party. And that at present, my job is to build or help build the prison movement. And like I said, the objective of this movement is to prove to the state that we can't be concentration camp, that the concentration camp theory won't work on us, strategic Hamlet theory won't work on us, and that it's impossible concentration camp resistors. The people here inside the joint, the convict class, have related to the ideal 100%, and we've moved from, not we, but I've always been internationalist. I've always been materialist. I guess I was materialist before I was born. But the other brothers who might have stopped developing in the riot stage, they're now, you know, moving into the same trends that you know, see on the street. And again, I emphasize it's important to start relating to and communicating with convicts here in the joint in general. Just bombard the males. They're going to stop it after a while. They're going to stop it after a while when they see what's happening. But right now, we can take advantage of the change of rules. Bombard the males. Send these comrades in here, things that they can relate to, things that will explain the situation. Ignorance is a terrible thing. And being cut off from the flow of the movement on the street right now is really detrimental.
Can they receive mail from other countries?
Mail can be received from anywhere in the globe. I get stuff right now from Germany and England and France as a result of the book being published in these countries. And people ask me what they can do. I always refer them to the party. Oh, yeah. Well, the few copies of Tricontinental that we've gotten in, they've helped broaden the scope and explained a few things for the comrades that they didn't understand. I mean, that we absolutely had no knowledge of. And 1, 2, 3, 4 Vietnams.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of our slogans now. And of course, that's a very ticklish point there. That's the point that really upsets the goons. You notice in years past, the moment that any black anyway would attempt to establish a link between our situation here in this country and the situation of the Cubans and the Vietnamese, let's say the Indo-Chinese now, the Chinese and the rest of the third world, the blacks that attempted these connections were immediately assassinated. So we of course grasp the significance of Tricontinental, and I believe it's very important for that sort of stuff to start coming in now. Education with these cats right now is very important. Concentrate on flooding this joint with literature relating to Tricontinental.
Right. Despite the infrequent peaceful victories in Latin America, such as that of Salvador Allende in Chile, most people still believe that armed struggle is the only way most Latin American countries are going to be free. There have been some recent victories in the courts for members of the Black Panther Party, Los Siete de la Raza. Do you believe that the victories in the courts
were appeasement? And Allende, the thing that happened to Allende, look, it was not a peaceful revolution, it's deception. Allende is a good man, but what's going on there is just a reflection of the national aspirations of the ruling class. You will never find a peaceful revolution. Nobody surrenders their property without resistance. And until the upper class in Chile is crushed, Allende could at any time be defeated. Long live the guerrillas, power to the people, Vincent Ramos, George Jackson. It's my impression that the conditions in the black colony, especially the black colony in this country, are ripe right now for a revolution. When we speak of conditions, of course, we're talking about, you know, are people hungry? Are people ill-fed, ill-fed? And of course, I'm convinced that conditions are righteous now. And it goes to the question you asked me a while ago, whether or not I feel Johnson's life was wasted. Of course I don't. For one, he felt he couldn't handle that job up there. I think the only mistake they made was thinking that all of the pigs in that group there, of 200, would have any, you know, would have, you know, concern for the life of the judge. It was, wasn't the one way for them to be stopped. That was to kill the judge. Of course, they chose to kill the judge rather than let him get away. The tactical error was, well, it wasn't really an error because knowing Johnson and knowing the way he thinks, and knowing that he's familiar with the military ideas, I think he understood that it was always a possibility of one person starting the shooting and then the rest of them, you know, falling in to support the one. You know, just one person firing a shot in a situation like that could bring on the barrage, you know, or would bring on the barrage. It was just a gigantic bluff, you know. We're hoping they had a chance. But back to the conditions thing. That question there answers itself. I'm convinced that in the black colony, you know, I think the black colony is the most revolutionary stratum of the lower class. I think they're ready for revolution right now. We just need some people in the front. Get in front of them and pull. People like Johnson. I definitely don't think his example should be buried.
The news today said that Tom Hayden declared in front of the National Student Association Congress that's going on now that there will be more kidnappings from courtrooms and prisons, like the one that John attempted to attack and attempted to perform.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this situation. Did you notice that in the building, they froze the court, of course. They froze the court. Johnson froze the court. And then with the help of the other comrades, they made it all the way to, you know, down the two flights. Two stories down to the parking lot and into the truck. Do you notice that during that period, very little shooting was done? See, I think at one occasion, as they left the building, the pigs fired. Johnson fired back, and then they retreated. They were just testing them to see if they were willing to, you know, really willing to engage in killing and dying. See? And when they were convinced that they were, then they retreated. I think both sides fired into the air, let's say. But it was a standoff all the way till they got trapped in the truck and until they, you know, confronted the prison pigs, the most vicious pigs on earth, the prison pigs. No regard whatsoever to human life, none.
Is there any psychological testing or anything to become a prison pig?
No, of course not. They need, the state needs goons, and the guys that fall in there need jobs. That's the whole situation right now. Anyone can fall in here. A cat could fall in here drunk today and kill me and shoot me through the heart tomorrow if I let
him. Do you think there might be some kind of psychological disposition like that certain kinds of people would be more more inclined to want to take a prison job?
Of course. The preconceived notions about prison life in general, attracts a sadist. And I guess the other percentage would be members of the lower class who couldn't fit into the proletariat proper. Men who are, you know, mentally stable enough to work. You understand that they don't work. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't sell insurance, sell cars, or so forth. They couldn't, you know, stand on the same line.
What do you know about the charge that McLean was up against when in that court? What do you know about what happened with Fred Billings there?
All right, we'll tie the Billingsley. James McLean incidents together. You can tie them together. Billingsley was a brother who was murdered in February by the police. And James was on trial for reacting to that murder.
He was accused of attacking a police officer with a pig, excuse me, with the edge of his sword. He attacked the pig with the edge of his sword. And he was on trial for that. It's very significant, I'd like to interject here, very significant point. If it can be done, it might be interesting to get a hold to the transcript. And be wary of alterations. There's no use in getting the transcript and thinking that you have it just the way it went down, see, without checking to see if there's any possibility of them changing or building a whole new one altogether. It's a real dramatic affair, the whole trial, from what I hear. The statements made, the confrontations went down, the way it's built up. James was very, his 37-year-old brother has been subjected to shocks and strains of prison existence all his life. Prison existence and, victim of the system here, capitalism, all his life. He's very aware. And, actually he was serving as his own lawyer. Self-taught, intelligent brother. And I believe that the trial transcript could be very significant, demonstration of what we're trying to say. When we aren't getting justice in the courts, or we can't get justice in the courts, you're aware that the district attorney and the judge were related by law.
You found that out because of what went down there.
And the collusion. Everybody, all of us see it. It's obvious for us, the collusion. The prosecutors and judges, juries, all working together. The grand juries especially. And the control that the judge and prosecutor can exercise over picking of jury panels, or impaneling a jury, the control that they can exercise when they work together, completely eliminates all possibility of a impartial trial. This is a game, again. And the Vanguard is very much aware of that. And the people in general, black people in general, are becoming aware of it. McLean didn't intend to get caught, I don't think.
Why was Billingsley murdered?
I was saying that James, of course, didn't intend to get caught in the affair concerning Billingsley's death. But he was caught, and the impression that I get is that he wanted to use his trial as a demonstration of this thing that people are slowly becoming aware of, the fact that the court process, the legal process, is just a farce, it's just a device used by the establishment to keep us thinking, in conventional terms, thinking that perhaps we can get some relief in conventional ways, in established ways. You want to use it as an example. And contrary to what the pigs have been saying in the press, there were people there listening, in the audience, plenty of people there attending the trial. And some of the questions, the issues he raised, and the way he questioned the officers, and the responses that he got from the officers, the tendency of judge to object for the district attorney and so forth, all that can be read from the transcript, and I believe it'd be very educational for you to publish that transcript or make it available to as many people as you possibly can.